Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone calls. First up is Jaron. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jaron.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good.
Outstanding. I had a question about, I work in the capacity as a case manager working with a persistently mentally ill, and my question is not particularly specific to the person I'm asking about today. This is a person that I saw at a day program who she was pacing back and forth, praying very fervently the words, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Please take this schizophrenia away from me." And it was actually, I was talking to another gentleman, and it was really encouraging to watch her pray. But after a while, she was so loud and disturbing other people that a staff member asked her to be quiet. My question is, do people who have low intellectual functioning, are they able to be saved because they don't, or if they don't have the capacity to quite understand the word, or if they don't have the capacity for abstract thought?
Well, this falls in line with what I've said over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that is, it is not the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns. Now, that in no way is suggesting universalism. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. But I also am very convinced that what happens is that if we respond to light, we will be given light. And that the problem, as Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, is not that there's not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light. So going back to your specific question, again, I think the operative words are, it is not the absence of knowledge that damns, it is the despising of knowledge that damns. So God is not looking for technicalities to keep people out of the kingdom. Oh, you didn't have the intellectual capacity to understand the gospel, and therefore you're out. Of course not. God went to the greatest extent imaginable so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. Jesus suffered more than any human, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so we could be reconciled. So again, we can be assured that the people in question will inherit everlasting life and will not be rejected because of some low-functioning intellectual capacity.
It's amazing. Thank you for your answer.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Derek. He's listening in Indianapolis, Indiana, on the web. Hi, Derek.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing good, thank you.
I had a question about, are we to take the Old Testament prophets as a blind faith because we weren't back there when they had all the different prophecies come into fruition?
Well, no, we have the greatest prophet of all, a prophet that is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ ratified the Old Testament. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything has been accomplished." So Jesus ratified the work of the Old Testament prophets. But how do we know if a prophet is sent from God? Well, if his prophecies come to pass. I mean, that's how we know Benny Hinn hasn't been sent from God, or William Branham wasn't sent from God. Their prophecies didn't come to pass. Also, we're told in Deuteronomy 13 that the prophecy must lead you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And certainly Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, etc., all fulfilled that test.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone line. Sally, Linden, Washington. Hi, Sally.
Hi there, Hank. Thank you so much. We have a young couple from our church, and the man has in his head, they have five little children, and the man about 2 years ago felt that he was being led to minister to the Mormons. Well, his wife, because of their large family, the wife said, I have to stay here. I cannot pick up and move. So he went by himself for a week, came back, started reading, and now believes in polygamy. And he says he would never take a second wife, but when he argues about it all the time in the home, and he when they have a disagreement, he says, I'm just not satisfied with you, and polygamy is not wrong. And she's just so afraid of where this is headed, and she can hardly live with him anymore because she has five little girls, and she's afraid he's going to influence them also, and she is just devastated. What is she to do? I mean, we have looked up all these scripture passages. He won't talk to Christian men. He only reads all these books that are put out by the Mormons, and we have told him about 1 Timothy 3:2. He says that's just for the elders and bishops and not for him. What is she to do?
Well, first of all, pray that he is converted to Christ, because if he's converted to Christ, then he will start to take the Bible seriously, and the Bible is very explicit.
He is a Christian. He was raised in a Christian home.
But I mean, walking into McDonald's doesn't make me a French fry.
Right.
So the fact that he was raised a Christian doesn't mean that he is, in fact, a Christian. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, said Jesus. So it's not the profession of faith. It's genuinely realizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, and turning to Jesus Christ, depending on him for everlasting life. And then when you do that, you now live by his precepts rather than your own. What he's being driven by is his own wanton lust, most likely, although I don't know him, but that certainly sounds like that is the case. The explicit teaching of Scripture, Deuteronomy 17:17, which of course makes it a very memorable and easy to find passage, 17:17, you must not multiply wives. That is an explicit teaching given to the kings, and if it's true for the kings, how much more for the subjects of the kingdom? But there's a much more compelling argument than just a verse, and that is the panoply of Scripture. Jesus makes it clear that a man leaves his father and his mother, he's united to his wife, not wives, and the two, not three or more, become one flesh. And in fact, Jesus refers to Genesis in making his point. He says that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman commits adultery. And then Paul picks up on the theme and says each man should have his own wife, not wives, and each woman her own husband, not husbands. A wife must not separate from her husband. Again, it's not plural, it's singular. And if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife. And again, it's singular, not plural. So this is not dependent on one verse from 1 Timothy 3 or a verse from the Old Testament. The entirety of Scripture makes plain that polygamy is not acceptable. And this is not only by prescription, but it's also by description, which is to say that in the Old Testament you have men like Solomon, who took 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, the reason for that was not strictly, you know, some love relationship. It was he was developing strategic alliances with foreign kings, and so he was fortifying his kingdom through the arm of flesh as opposed to the arm of God. But the point here is that you see that when he takes on these wives and concubines, there is a consequence, and that consequence is so severe that you have one of the most epic events in all of Scripture. His heart is turned by foreign wives to pagan practices, and the kingdom is ripped apart. So now you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and eventually what God warned would happen when you start imbibing the practices of the pagan nations who are in the land before you, the land is going to vomit you out, which is precisely what happened with the northern kingdom when they're invaded by the Assyrians and the southern kingdom when they're invaded by the Babylonians. So again, you have a very descriptive narrative in the Word of God pointing out the horrific consequences of doing it your own way, as even the great King Solomon did.
Right. So is she justified in leaving him for now, for just for prayer? Because it's hard to live with him.
Well, you know, that's another question. I would take that question to a healthy, well-balanced church and a pastor who can counsel them. But my immediate response about this is that the greatest good is to pray for reconciliation. That is the greatest good. I mean, that's what we always look towards. Separation or divorce is because of the hardness of our hearts. It's not the first option. Be right back with more answers to your questions. Please stay tuned.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important? The number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Valerie, listening in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Valerie.
Hello. Well, I had a question. I've been hearing about this pastor that was in Nazi Germany during the 30s, and I have just recently heard about him, and I haven't had a chance to really research his life, but on the surface, I hear that he was a pastor. He was very verbal against the Nazi movement during that time, and that he got involved in a plot to kill Hitler, which Hitler needed killing, but anyway, but that he was hanged, apprehended and hanged for this. So I have a question about the mechanics of that, the spiritual mechanics of that. First of all, being a pastor, I would think that he would be listening to the leading of the Spirit. But I don't see how the Spirit would lead a person to be involved in an assassination plot. Now, even though, in my personal opinion, Hitler needed killing, I don't think that's his M.O. And if he was led by the Spirit to get involved in this, why did it fail? Why, you know, and why was he hanged for it? I mean, I don't think it would have turned out that way if he'd been in the perfect will of God.
Yeah, let me give you a little background on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. He said that if we claim to be Christians, there is no room for expediency. He had an opportunity to stay in America and forego all the tragedies that he experienced. But he not only denounced a Nazi regime that had turned its Führer into an idol and a god, but he denounced a confessional church that was more concerned with its survival than with the sins of anti-Semitism and slavery. And he said that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And that's precisely what happened to him on April 9, 1945. He was only 39 years old. He experienced the ultimate cost of discipleship, because by special order of Reichsfuhrer Heinrich Himmler, he was hanged at the concentration camp at Flossenbürg. So he's a very famous Christian who's done a wonderful work, not only in his life, but in what still impacts us today. I remember years ago making The Cost of Discipleship available to people through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So I greatly revere this man, and I revere the fact that he not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk. He was willing to do what was in his power to try to stop an evil aggressor. And you can imagine that if you're living at the time that Dietrich Bonhoeffer lived, there was no assurance whatsoever that Hitler would not succeed in his evil plan to kill all Jews, but not only all Jews, but all who were inferior, because in his view, the inferior people, those who had maladies or handicaps or whatever, they were infecting the fit with their less fit genes, and as a result of that, evolution was not going along as quickly as it should. Evolution was, in fact, retarded. So he was carrying out his worldview, and that is, we got to get rid of the weak and the disabled and the Jews. Those are ill-suited to society. They're infecting the Aryan race. We got to get rid of them. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in position, at least believed to be in position, to do something about it. Now, we have to be faithful. Now, to be faithful doesn't mean we always win. A lot of times to be faithful means we lose, we die in the battle. But in his case, though he died, his work lives on. So I am a big fan of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his courage, and hope very much that I can exemplify the same thing in my life.
Yes, sir, I understand that. And I have a lot of admiration for that kind of courage. And I can accept that not everything that we're called to do is successful, and we to be faithful unto death is absolutely all that, you know, we can, God can ask of us. But I'm very torn about the idea that Jesus would, or that God would call us to be involved in an assassination plot.
Well, why? Why? I mean, there are policemen that kill robbers and rapists.
Yes, yes. We have a judicial system, you know, and
this is war.
That I'm right. I'm just saying that there's something in my head that can't accept that.
Yeah, but this is war. A war in defense of justice has to be fought justly. Thus, we may kill a child with a bomb strapped to his back, but we may not shoot an innocent baby in the arms of its mother. We have to recognize that true love protects innocent people against the evil of an aggressor, and that kind of love sometimes leads to war. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer believed that he was in a unique position to do something, and therefore, if he failed to do what he could do, then he would have been in sin. And you have many examples of where a higher moral imperative takes precedent. Rahab is a classic case in point. The Bible never condones lying for the sake of lying, but it does condone lying in order to preserve a higher moral imperative. And therefore, Rahab purposed to deceive, which was a lesser moral law, in order to preserve the lives of two Jewish spies, which was the higher moral law. And in the same way, a Christian father today wouldn't hesitate to lie in order to protect his wife and daughters from a rapist or a murderer.
And I understand that. I think my problem is probably with where do you draw the line? In other words, we can't just go out and assassinate.
No, this is a non-normative experience. I mean, you're absolutely right. This is non-normative. This is a very unique situation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in that situation. And he had an opportunity to do something that could stop the evil of a war machine that was threatening to decimate the world. And because he was in that situation, he decided he would do something about it. And by the way, here you had anti-Semitism justified in the name of religion. That's what was really going on. Hitler, he didn't even need that kind of a pretext. His belief was that Jews were subhuman, that Aryans were supermen, and that fueled his mad dash towards ethnic cleansing. And as the smoke from crematoriums wafted over steeples in the German countryside, there was another evil, and that was that German pastors and parishioners, unlike Dietrich Bonhoeffer, did nothing, and they remained strangely silent. And why? Well, it was a matter of self-preservation. And there were others who sought to justify their apathy by blaming Jews for the Great War, and still others believing that Jews were fatalistically destined to face the wrath of Antichrist, and therefore they did nothing. So there were a lot of pretexts why people did nothing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer did something. And though it didn't succeed, in the end, you know, God had other means, he did what he was called to do. He didn't demonstrate apathy, he demonstrated courage in the midst of horrific evil. And I think it's a great lesson for us today. I mean, you look at the average pastor, the televangelist that goes on national radio broadcast. What are they trying to do? They're trying to be politically correct by and large. They're trying to appease. They're trying to be popular so they can sell more books. They're not doing what Dietrich Bonhoeffer did. He put his life on the line because he believed in principle, and he believed that if God calls a man, he bids him come and die.
I believe that, and I can see a little clearer the line between getting involved in an assassination plot. It has to be for the right reason.
Yeah, and I appreciate having this discussion because I think not only for you but for all of us, perhaps it was an enlightening moment and also an encouraging word that we are called to make a difference while there's yet time. We are coming to the end of this broadcast. And once again, I want to offer my thanks for all of those that support this ministry prayerfully and financially. We need your help. You're making a difference. You're touching lives for time and for eternity.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth. Because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.